Okay, I need to know, what's harder to say? I love you, I'm sorry, I need help, or Worcestershire sauce?
Oh, it's for you, it's obviously Worcestershire sauce.
How do you say it?
Worcestershire sauce, I thought there's more syllables than you emphasized.
Worcestershire. Worcestershire.
Yeah, right? It's like where Bilbo Baggins came from. I think he's from Worcestershire.
Okay.
Right?
The word war is just really standing out to me.
Worcestershire. Can you say worm?
Worm, yeah.
Do you say warm?
Warm.
Big. Hey, what if it was a warm worm?
A what?
A warm worm.
A warm worm?
A warm wet worm.
Warm wet worm.
Can you say wash?
Wash.
Wash. Because my dad says warsh.
Warsh.
Like there's an R in it.
Oh, that's like, just because. Never mind.
Yeah, but and for me it would be I need help.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. No, for me clearly it's Worcestershire.
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 Now I have no fucking clue what to say. What are other weird words for you? Mine is weird. Like if I write or think of the word weird, it becomes a weird word to me. Like it doesn't
really.
Yeah.
No, I never thought of that.
My little sister can't say trolley.
Really? She can't say trolley?
No, she calls him Charlie. Charlie. Like
Charlie? Charlie?
Yeah. It gets interchangeable right there.
She throws another R at the end of it.
Yeah, it's Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
Yeah. It's an English non-metropolitan county or a sauce condiment.
I think it's just one of those instances where my brain works faster than I can keep up with. Like my handwriting is god awful, and that's just because I'm already thinking of the next word before I finish writing the current word. Yeah,
that happens to me with clear glass doors or barricades.
Social nuisance podcast.
Nice.
Oh shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be my
podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
All right, hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things recurring. Wow, Worcestershire sauce.
That's a weird word.
Requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kicking your face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow, and get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping a dollar in our Venmo at
Social Nuisance. And we'll do better than that.
Yeah, yeah. You can keep making me say Worcestershire sauce.
Unless you only drop a dollar, then that's what you get.
Yeah, and my name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who claims to be from Worcestershire County.
Yeah.
Matt, motion.
You're so tongue-tied.
So bad, dude. You know,
I had quick questions for the show. I'm erasing them all, and they're just going to say, quick question. Is it Worcestershire, or is it Worcestershire?
Worcestershire. We're going
to do that three times. Rule of comedy. Three times.
I'm looking forward to it. I picked a hell of a week to stop drinking.
Where did you stop? I've kind of stopped, but that's just because I went so hard the last time I did. I think it's been like 6 days and I'm still not really.
Yeah, how's your week been, man? How are things?
It's all right. Just working, trying to mind my own business. Keep my head down, my mask up.
There you go, head down, mask up,
something like that, dude.
That's living the life right there. What's up Rudolph reindeer?
Yeah, did you see? Call them Jingle Bells all the time. Hey, yeah, Jingle Bells, shut the fuck up. What about your week, man? How was your week?
It's getting by. You know, it's the same old, literally, because it's been locked down for the past 6 months. But, you know, hey, that's how it goes.
Right? We're getting to the fucking... Why is there like an overall sentiment that election season is going to make this shit disappear? I keep hearing that. Like, it's going to... It's almost November. It's going to go away soon. Like, it was supposed to go away Memorial weekend. Remember that?
It was supposed to go away like in fucking June. June was supposed to be back to normal. Anyone who thinks it's going to go away soon is clearly mistaken.
Right.
But you know, I digress. But I'm looking forward to Halloween. I guess I signed up for that drive-through Halloween haunted house shit.
Oh shit! Yeah. Who's are you? You got to drive, not Daisy, right? Because if somebody jumps out, I don't know how does Daisy react.
Oh yeah, no, Daisy cannot. She's not gonna drive.
Fucking floor it, kill six clowns and a fucking scarecrow.
Exactly, which is why she cannot drive. Yeah. I try and creep around the corner, just around the kitchen. And I scare the shit out of her. So I would not put her in a moving vehicle with like creepy clowns coming at her. Nah. I'm driving.
Yeah. But you know what's going to be great though? Is all my cars like have problems. So I'd probably overheat in the middle of it. Okay. It's not an act. Cars are all trying to go around, you know?
They think you're like, you're about to die and shit. Yeah.
I had a fun, quick question for you. So your boy's getting a little bit older now.
Okay.
And you know what? COVID might inhibit your answer on this. Is are you guys getting to the point where like parents are doing like parent talk and like, oh, you know what you got to do is you got to introduce them to puzzles because puzzles make them around and just like fucking I fucking hate when parents talk like parent talk. Do you see what I'm saying? Or like you should put Beethoven on before he goes to bed because that'll it's like shut the fuck up.
No,
we don't get that.
No, we only got it when I asked for it. Like, I have no idea what the hell's going on. Like, how do you make the baby stop crying?
Yeah. I don't mind like legitimate advice, but like when parents act like they got an inside track on some like a shortcut to intelligence or I don't know.
I'm sure I've had it, but you know, I'd pay no mind to it, so I can't really recall a specific instance. But ultimately, I just pay no mind. It's like whatever, man. You know.
I noticed I start to recoil when parents do parent talk. I start to pull back and just I try to do the Homer Simpson into the bush thing.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Always a solid strategy.
Right?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for that.
I'm coach for most conversations for now on, now I think about it.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. There's no better time to do that than right now with the Breonna Taylor situation popping off. So we kind of discussed it, you know, last week. With the results of the settlement,
yeah,
and then today was announced that one of the officers has been charged, not with the direct murder of Breonna Taylor, but emptying his clip wildly into the apartment complex.
Wow, that's a charge.
Yeah, and he's been charged with that.
Okay, now see, this is where they fucked up. I mean, they fucked up on multiple layers here, but this is where they take it next level. Whole number level.
Yeah.
If that can be a charge, there's a lot of cops, right? This is like when Me Too broke out in Hollywood. Producers were like, uh-oh, you know?
Yeah.
Because if it's illegal for a cop to wildly empty his clip, I think we might need to look back into the logs.
Yeah.
Or maybe be more alert in the near future. Because I'm pretty sure that's like standard protocol for a cop, right?
Yeah, don't empty your clip into the... wildness?
No, that they do that. Isn't that like an often thing? Do you remember 2 years ago it was a thing for them to like intense situations if there was a pet to shoot the pet?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay, so like wouldn't that be considered wildly empty? I mean, if you didn't empty your clip, if you pulled it off at one shot, cool, but I'm guessing it moved, you pulled the trigger a couple times. To me, that's wildly, that just seems like it's up for so much interpretation. If you can empty, if you're liable for a crime in emptying your clip, and in such a vague term, wildly, think about all the shootings where a cop's firearm has been discharged and no one was injured.
Yeah.
That's, like, they just opened up Pandora's monkey box, bro.
Well, I think, so what happened with the grand jury of Kentucky is that they were able to review a lot of the information. And one of the most poignant things that was said during that press conference was, those of us who are investigating know the facts. Those of you who are on the outside are on the outside. And that's why...
That's not fair. So show the facts.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But until they do, I would have to take their word for it. Unfortunately, I don't like it. I don't buy it. And people who are upset about the situation, it kind of reminds me of the quote, you know, don't be mad at the player, be mad at the game. Don't hate the player, hate the game. And don't direct your frustration on these three officers. Absolutely, partially. But now that that case is closed, back to work on why the situation unfolded the way it did, and we need to address it as such.
Correct. Yeah, because I do feel that a lot of the liability from this stemmed from before the cops even got to the door, although it was royally fucked at that point as well.
Yeah.
But and I would like to say your use of the term poignant was very poignant. I think that might be the most poignant thing said today on this episode.
Thank you. I can say poignant. I just can't say Worcestershire sauce.
God damn. All right. That goes one of the quick questions. Yeah, man. I mean, because of the way that case was fumbled from you know, top to bottom. And also, like, if you're having a press conference to tell people that you have facts that they don't have, kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
You're like a pediatrician that likes to kick rubber babies. What's your fucking end game here, bro? What are you doing?
That's true.
You know what I mean? Don't go in front of the public to say you know shit they don't know. You then share, sir.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
I agree.
Latinx, whatever is up there.
Yep.
But I'm glad the family got their settlement. I hope that it doesn't further divide them, as so often money does in crippling situations.
Yep.
And I hope it was Louisville, right? Yeah, it's Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky.
I hope they find a way to, you know, to repair the cracks and fallacies that are so, so horrendous that people can lose their lives at the, you know, at the bottom of them.
I totally agree. I certainly hope for that future as well. But as the ongoing protests continue in Louisville, you can just imagine the amount of slurs and insults being hurled towards anyone wearing a police badge. And it made me think about something while we were discussing that last week, where I adamantly called Alex Villanueva a cunt.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a, again, a poignant word.
I was like, if you take it back, I swear to God, I'm throwing this fucking laptop and I'm walking away from the show.
No, I'm not taking it back, but I was having a conversation with my wife and we were discussing the word cunt and how it is offensive, especially because women, it is a slandered word for a vagina.
Ooh. Okay.
It's a slanderous word for a vagina. And it made me think, okay, I had no intention of using the word as calling Alex Villanueva a vagina.
Uh-huh.
But just the most vitriol word I can think of, and that's cunt. But the point is this. How come all words, bad words, curse words, directed towards somebody else, a noun if you will, why do most of them derive from some type of female inferiority?
Well, bitch, first of all, cunt, you kind of fucked up because a cunt's not a female inferiority. It's the only reason they have any shot at superiority. But
my point is that whenever you call someone something derogatory, right? You're trying to get under their skin. You want to call them a name. You usually call them some fashion or form of a female something, either embodiment or a female body part. Why is it got to be female?
It depends on a couple of things. One, if it's men trying to insult men, there's been thousands of years of feminism or femininity or, a class below masculinity being completely inappropriate, especially while tested by another man. So I think it was natural when men insulted each other to go towards part of femininity because it was like, you know, like, I'm calling you less than a man. What are you going to do about it? Now you're forced to be in a position to act like a stupid caveman. You know what I mean? Like Charlemagne has this thing where when, Charlemagne the God says, so he always, when someone goes, well, they call me an N-word. He's like, so you reacted by acting like one?
Right.
So when you're insulting a man and you know you kind of like are at the end of that line that they're probably beating you on an intellectual level and the only thing you have left is by demasculating or going full on physical, you try to take that wind out their sail. And you do that by calling them a female part or a female in itself. I also once had a 20-minute argument. What was an argument? She went off on me for 19 minutes. A feminist talking about why do we call it pussy? Pussies are resilient. Pussies do this. Pussies do that. And I was like, I'm pretty sure pussy stems from pussycat. And a pussycat's pretty much a bitch. Like, it gets afraid, runs away. That's why we say you're a pussy if you can't complete the task at hand. It has nothing to do with vagina.
Okay, so you're saying it comes from a pussy cat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, and then words, and especially derogatory and curse words have, you know, each one has its own weird story or tale from history. Like, I don't know if you know, fuck you supposedly was archers, and they would get their middle fingers cut off so they couldn't pull back the bow. So then when they start seeing, like, when they still had their middle fingers, they would flip off the offense. I want to say it was like Scottish or French or something.
Because I still have one, you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's how it was originally puck you and somehow became fuck you.
Interesting.
Probably an Asian or a Mexican, and you know, they mix up their P's and their F's.
I was trying to, because then when we were discussing it, I was thinking, okay, well, if I was going to try and, you know, provide some type of derogatory term towards a man, what would be the go-to term that would have an equivalent impact of inferiority without using a woman allusion?
There's two words that both start with, or start with, they both end with agate, that aren't feminine insults.
Well, again, that's still alluding to an inferiority.
Well, like a maggot, right? Like army, don't they call each other maggots or something? I'm like, I don't know what the army does. What are they?
I don't know.
Still shining shoes, cutting potatoes, and polishing floors with toothbrushes.
Clearly,
I don't know. Like, so, all right. So, what would, if you were in an argument with a man and it was like intense? All right, here's a fun game. We'll play this game. And you had the awareness about yourself to make sure that the insult had nothing to do with any effeminate relation. What are you going with?
Well, see, that's my thing. My go-to has always been calling someone a little bitch.
Uh-huh.
And again, a bitch being, from what I understand, a female dog, it still alludes to a woman. So yeah, I want to come back from that and be like, okay, well, I don't want to use a derogatory term to insult someone if it's at the cost of labeling someone else as being inferior, which is why it's a derogatory term.
Yeah. So natural reaction is now you go racial, right?
No. So then I just call someone, you know, an asshole, I guess. Everyone can relate to assholes, I suppose. But make it like a specific, like you're a cat asshole, you know, like a pussy cat asshole, because they just flaunt them, you know?
And you have that previous knowledge that maybe the person's a cat person, or you go opposite. That like it's a dog person, you're like a fucking cat asshole.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You call someone maybe a litter box.
that's a good one.
Hey, you fucking litter box.
Fucking litter box.
If they're short, you're like you low earth turd. I don't know, dude. Oh, are you allowed? Yeah, can you? Well, I would love. I wish. Can we go back, please, to like insulting people's physical, like obvious. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I would think that, like, if we're trying to be fair and equal and I was missing a leg, I wouldn't want people to, like, sugarcoat my life that I'm missing a leg. I'd want you to go, hey, one leg, or, like, do you either discount at Shoe City? You know, I don't know. Like, what the fuck? I don't know, man.
I just thought it was fascinating because then I was thinking about it. I can't think of anything that, like, you know, if I wanted to call someone a little bitch, I can't think of a gender neutral attack that would be equally impactful.
Can we just add X to it? Bitch X, cunt X. Hey, but girls call us dicks all the time.
It's dicks, right? It's dicks with an X.
Dick sex.
Your dicks is.
If some girl's like dick sex, I'd be like, yes, please.
I just thought it was fascinating. So I thought
it is. Oh, I think you're right.
I want to bring it back to the show and we're going to discuss.
Hey, you know what else is
good? I want to bring it back. I don't want to use the derogatory term if it's going to be at the cost of labeling someone else inferior.
The funny thing is, though, how all of that goes out the window when two women get in a fight, right? Then it's like, bitch, cut, fat, bitch, it. Nothing's better when two broads get in a fight. Then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what happened? I thought we're not allowed to say these things.
Yeah, let me pull my wife real quick. What,
so judges?
If you're in a fight with another woman, right? Then all bitch cut.
All so cocksucker.
Yeah.
So what?
That's back on the table.
Well, if it were me, I'd probably go something like, "Stop being such a little dick."
Oh, then okay. So she's rebutting, saying, you know, she would call them a dick.
See, so we don't do that.
Yeah,
we don't talk shit about the size of their ergonomics.
Stop being a little dick.
We don't go, hey, you fat cunt. You know, like big pussy lips.
That's fascinating. Then, so then, women to women, they use men as inferior.
Women.
That's fascinating. Well, I'm saying all women. You represent all women.
Yeah, fair enough. And also,
in the name of women, Daisy speaks.
Women also use men as inferior to men, too. So let's.
That's also true.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just fascinating. I just want to. If you guys have any perspectives on that, definitely share it, and you know, let me know what you guys think about that. Instagram, Facebook, or send us an email. I think it's fascinating.
Well, while we're on the topic of gender, I also had a fascinating thought.
Yeah.
And that maybe you we could explore a little if it's worth talking about.
Always worth
it. So I was thinking about when someone crosses gender or changes their gender at a later age. And I was thinking specifically of Caitlyn Jenner, okay?
Right.
And thinking that she has said multiple times that she has been in this wrong body throughout her life. And she's felt like this for a long time. It wasn't a new thing.
Right.
And I was thinking how absolutely, if that's true, I don't know that that's true. But how fucking fascinating and amazing it is that she was able to be so successful, not just as a man, but at masculine things, right? Competing against other men in sports.
Right.
In this wrong body her whole life.
Yeah.
Like, not that it was a handicap, you know, just the ability to still be able to seize, you know, the moment or that skill set or that structure or whatever it is.
Right.
To become so successful in something that you felt so challenged in your entire life, specifically in the field of gender. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. And I think you're definitely on the right track. And I think that for me, it brings back the conversation of gender being...
construct type?
Yeah. Gender is not real.
Mm-hmm.
And identifying... you know, biological sex, I think even then can be broken down. Okay. A penis is just, it's a part. Ovaries are a part and they can, you know, no one is identical exactly. They're majority parts, but I'm pretty sure there are some gray areas in between all that. But
if the rules weren't male, female in the Olympics and Caitlin was born a woman, she probably would not have won those gold medals against those men in that time period. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what I'm saying is like the resiliency of the mind, I guess, or attitude even, maybe not even the mind, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. That's why the conversation's on the right track of understanding someone pushing forward and feeling that they need to identify in a particular way because societal construct dictates that, but to do that, but also at the same time feel a different way about it, definitely, you know, should be applauded. But you know, I think we've had this conversation before where it's kind of like I feel men should be able to compete against women, vice versa, and everything in between, and there should just be more research and more studies on how competition would break down if you were to break down the gender barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's all. It was just a thought. And I was like, I got to find a way to articulate this. Same thing I was thinking too about bringing it to the show. Like,
no, that's a good one. No, the resiliency of the mind for sure. Yeah.
And then is it Worcestershire or
Worcestershire?
I found a warm worm. I found a warm worm in my Worcestershire.
Hey, so your favorite governor, Gavin Newsom, made some headlines today as well.
What did he do now?
So he signed an executive order stating that by 2035, there will be no longer any sales in California of internal combustion engine vehicles, otherwise known as ICE vehicles, or your local car.
Ooh, that's crazy, being that I just found out he signed 60 fucking fracking orders since COVID hit for our state. So I don't know what his MO is here. Is he trying to be environmental or is it to the big cronies upstairs? Like, he's one of the highest signing Democratic governors for fracking signing permits. And I guess those are permits that literally get signed by him, not like, you know, down by the city office. So, yeah, I was kind of doing research on, because I had heard these terrible things about Biden, and we don't need to get into that again.
Right.
But about Democrats and not really being the environmental party that we think they are. And so Newsom floated to the top of that conversation.
Nice.
And I didn't catch, unfairly, because I might be living in my echo chamber, I didn't catch this news. So it is that by 2035, there will be no more new sales?
No more new sales. So if you still own a engine car, you'll still be able to own your car. You'll still be able to drive your car. You'll be able to trade your car. You'll be able to sell your car. You'll be able to, you know, use small businesses with used car dealerships. Still,
you just won't get a 2036 V6.
Correct.
That's crazy.
At least not in California.
I don't know how – I don't see that holding up, but
– I don't see it holding up either, especially because it's an executive order, and that's 15 years from now, and the next governor could totally just say, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, Etch-a-Sketch. Etch-a-Sketch.
But I thought it was fascinating that
that's my Etch-a-Sketch.
I feel like it's interesting to see that the governor would take – I don't know, like it kind of – not necessarily came out of nowhere – but I'm all for the removal of combustible engines because I just feel like we're beyond that technology now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting because, you know, that's quite a feat. 15 years from now, no new car sales. That's quite a challenge.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't like it's good to be able to get away from, you know, old technology. I don't know about forcing the market to do it. You know, because like even New Jersey has that thing where like you can't buy a Tesla in New Jersey because they're not dealt through brokers. So it's like some ancient rule. And I just feel like this is a newer version of something similar to that. I like the idea of like a good idea. Okay. If someone has a good idea and it works and it's not illegal and they pay their tax, like you should be able to allow that to happen.
Right.
So if someone's going to come out with a great combustible engine that people like, and they obviously, you know how expensive it is to make a car? Like you'd have to sell, you know, a million cars before you get your dollar back. So if there's a good idea, you should let it happen. But I also do see that we don't get there without acts like this. Now, is this the act that gets us there? Absolutely not.
Right.
But
I agree.
You got to put it in the universe. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. And if you're going to have a good idea, it should definitely be a good idea that's worth exploring, such as the one that's being explored in Thailand right now. And I thought Worcestershire was difficult to say. I want to talk about this guy. He's the minister, Thailand's Natural Resources and Environment Minister, Varawat Silpa Archa?
Thailand's what?
Thailand's Natural Resources and Environment Minister.
All right.
So this guy, he has implemented a new way of dealing with tourists who leave their trash behind at national parks.
Oh, I'm excited to hear this.
He gathers the trash and mails it right back to him.
Oh, no one has money for that.
Yep. So he said that he's going to be taking strict measures to blacklist visitors who damage national parks or are being noisy or disruptive, and cited two recent examples of such ridiculous behavior, saying that they left garbage in their rented tent and another allegedly drunken tourist who camped out, just being little bastards, little wankers.
I thought they were going to dump them in duck sauce. Bunch of little cunts.
But no, he's taking their trash and he's gonna mail it back to them, and you fucking deal with it.
Yeah, you know what, no shit, I can't even insult the guy because I told the kids the dishes that they don't do or the trash they leave laying around I'm putting back in their room when they're gone for a night or two, so that it will just be like nasty in their room. And so I guess that's maybe he just got, maybe did I say on the show before, do you think he listens to us?
Come on.
Well, you better hope he doesn't listen to us because you butchered the shit out of his name, bro.
That's true. Hope he doesn't.
He's going to mail you his ID.
A recording of how to say his name. Get it right.
Yeah. You ever use those Google recordings on like foreign names? They're hilarious.
Oh, no.
We had one time Desi and I just spent hours looking up foreign names and letting Google tell us how to say them. Google doesn't get it right either at all. Like,
points for effort, Google. I've always felt this way though, because like, you ever been driving down the road and you see someone like throw out the cigarette butt or trash?
Absolutely.
I always just want to grab that shit and like throw it back at him. Like, pick it up, bitch.
I was infamous for doing that in high school.
I did it again. I called someone a bitch. See, that's exactly. See?
And you said you wouldn't.
I'm trying not to. But it's such a good like, go to.
You're like Jay-Z after he had one of the what's his kid's names? I don't know what his kid's names is. But remember when he finally had that little girl? And he's like, I'm never rapping the word bitch again. Like, okay, sure.
Yeah, okay.
All right. And then like 2 months later, he's throwing his fucking sister-in-law around in an elevator or something.
I remember that. You see people driving down the road and they're throwing stuff out, or you go to the beach and you see people just leaving behind their mess. And they're the worst. Litter bug.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, pick up your shit, throw it in the trash, or take it with you.
Dude, I actually, now that we're talking about that, because obviously, I mean, without being bigots, right? The biggest purveyors of this sin have got to be cigarette smokers, right?
Oh, yeah, clearly.
And I just heard this fact. Now, I want to kind of look it up. Yeah, so trillions of cigarette butts are thrown on the floor every year.
I believe that. By one
Not
guy.
Not trillions in years. What's up?
By one guy. He's a chain smoker.
Yeah, by one guy. Yeah. That guy's falling. No, but yeah, like, the idea that someone will come behind you and pick your shit up is like, there's got to be its own layer of hell for that. I know purgatory was only 9 layers, but I hope there's like 9.5. And this one should be like somewhere between, you know, maybe 6.5. 6.5 is for people that just dump shit on the floor and then think that their fairy fucking godmother is going to come behind them and pick it up.
Oh, yeah. When I was at my previous job and my day job, I would oversee the break room. And I would have to just make sure, you know, everyone's, you know, being kosher and being cool. And I would always have to continually, you know, remind people, hey, man, like, pick up after yourselves.
Yeah.
Because they think that, you know, it just, they leave the break room and all of a sudden they come back and it's gone. Oh, okay, someone did it. Yeah, bitch, I did. Ah, goddamn, I did it again.
See, hey, what about, can we start saying fuck shit? Hey, fuck shit, like that?
I'm going to go back to litter box. Hey, litter box.
Litter box. Hey, fucking litter box. Oh, you know what else one I like too? Buster. Sometimes when there's a kid around or someone you don't know, you go, hey, Buster. Like that. Buster's a good one.
Litter box and Buster. We're trying to change the world one curse word at a time.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, like, hey, you fucking litter box. Like, it's me who has to pick up this shit.
If you, or Linus. Remember Linus? Call people Linus. Dirty people. Hey, you fucking Linus.
Linus? Wow.
Remember him from Peanuts? He was the one with all the dust around him all the time.
Well, that's Pigpen.
Oh, my God. Sorry, Linus. Take that back.
The blanket.
Yeah, my bad. Oh. Pigpen makes so much more noise, too. Or more noise. So much more sense.
Yeah.
How did I confuddle those two words?
I don't know.
Dude, today is not the fucking day of words for us, bro.
It's a fantastic episode to examine words. What a couple of litter boxes we are, I say.
Yeah, and I have zero drinks in me, and you quit drinking, and all of a sudden we can't talk, bro.
All of a sudden. But, you know, the one thing that we can do is gamble.
At least can we?
Coronavirus.
I love gambling.
By the way. So someone just recently, do you watch football?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Oh, wait, are we supposed to be boycotting? God damn it, I got to text one of my black homies, because I know we were boycotting last year, right?
I forget what we were boycotting, to be perfectly honest.
Fuck. I don't know the rules anymore. You know what? In fact, let me rescind my answer to, I'm not sure if I watch football, and then let's continue.
Okay,
cool. I'm not sure if I watch football.
Sure, but someone recently bet on a game. So I think it was this past Sunday, there was a game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And it was a complete blowout of the Cowboys. But out of nowhere, towards the end of the game, the Cowboys came back and won by 1 point.
Uh-huh. Yep.
There was one gentleman out there in the world who thought that it was an absolute lock that the Falcons were going to win this game.
All right.
So he bet $15,000.
They're probably important dollars to him too, huh?
Yep. And he thought it was such a lock that he bet $15,000 in order to get a $1,000 profit off that $15,000 bet. And because he came back, he lost.
I wonder if he works at a lollipop factory.
Why is that?
Because he's a sucker. That's a good one.
That was set him up and knock him down.
Yeah, dude, Vegas is Vegas. We would call that guy a dipshit. So the do you know the way the odds work or how odds work in football?
Not
for that
at all. I just know it's an ongoing bet, and I guess throughout the game the odds got better and better. So he's like, oh, this is a for sure win. So I'm just gonna place my bet, and then he lost.
So when something's pretty much on lock, the odds are like really fucked up. Like, say if I was gonna fight Conor McGregor,
right?
It would probably be like -10,000 Conor McGregor, +10,000 me. Which means if you want to win $100, you got to bet $10,000 on Conor McGregor, or if you want to win $10,000, you just bet $100 on me. Right. So it sounds like, I don't know my math right offhand.
Sure.
But if he was betting 15,000 for $1,000, it was probably $1,500. It was -1,500. So every 1,500 you bet, you get 100. So he bets 10 1,500s to get 1,000 because it was so guaranteed, right?
Right.
They were so ahead.
Yeah.
But what he failed to remember is just a couple years ago, the Atlanta Falcons were up by more during a Super Bowl and gave it away.
That's true.
So I know it's not the exact same set of birds, bro, but culture is culture, man. And you don't bet on chokers. Ask Charger fans.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I
just thought it was fun because I have no real connection to gambling when it comes to sports and stuff like that. Other than, like, oh, I bet this team to win. But I thought it was fascinating. Just like, hey, man, if you're going to bet this much money just for $1,000 profit, that probably was not a good bet.
You ever watch sports with sports gamblers?
No.
It's not fun, bro.
Oh, yeah. Or people who like fantasy.
Place bets.
Yeah.
Fantasy is a little different because you're betting on individual players, not on a team. But when someone puts $500 on a team and the team isn't winning, they're no fun to be at the party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I bet on football one time. I don't bet on sports for that very reason. You can't watch it. Once you watch it, it doesn't make sense. Here's the good one, dude. So the team who is less likely to win, Vegas will give them points so people bet on them. So say an eighth-ranked team is playing a first-ranked team. They'll say the first-ranked team not only has to win, but they have to win by like 7.
Right.
So someone – I love these people because I run into them everywhere I go. They bet on – the winning team. They go, oh, they'll for sure win by more than 7. And you just watch their face, attitude, demeanor, appetite, drinking habits, the way they treat their women change as that team starts to win by only 3, 4, or 5 points. And at the end of the game, the team they bet on won, but they didn't win by enough for them to win the bet.
That's funny.
Those people are classic pieces of trash. Oh my God. They're the funniest group of people, dude. The way they behave. I just don't want to be around sports gamblers, dude. Not if I'm trying to enjoy the sport.
That's true. Yeah. That's why I don't really watch sports to begin with. People like are really, really into sports. Like, I love the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be like, fuck, man, ruin my day kind of thing.
Again, and Dodgers fans should have learned our lessons by now.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not going to win the World Series. So, don't bet on them and then be mad at them.
Are you saying we're the new Cubs?
I don't know if the Cubs. What I am saying is we're the old Dodgers, whatever. We're the same Dodgers. I don't know. They're doing well now, but they always do well now.
I suppose.
It's later that they won't do well. Hopefully we don't play anybody that incurred a national tragedy or that bangs on trash cans. Then maybe we'll be at the top.
Yeah.
Look at us. We're like a regular sports podcast.
What, talking about banging trash cans?
No, we're talking about sports. Like two like real testosterone-fueled men. Not these bitches out here.
So have you heard about the 1619 Project?
No. What is the 1619 Project?
So
I've heard about the 69 Project.
Oh, no. We're professionals at that. That requires no introduction.
Yeah.
The 1619 Project is an ongoing project developed by the New York Times Magazine in 2019 that they're hoping to aim to reframe the country's history by placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the very center of the United States' national narrative. So they're kind of saying, take a look at when the country was founded, right? 1776. That's when they say okay. signed. Yeah. Signed the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, blah, blah, blah. But if you're going to look back at when the country first really started and where the roots of the country took place, they're okay. arguing that it's actually the year 1619 as the arrival of the first enslaved Africans in the Virginia colony, and suggest that this date represents the nation's real birth year.
Okay.
So it's an ongoing, I guess, controversy where okay. they've generated interest and intrigue about redirecting the narrative of the nation's origin from 1776 to 1619.
And this is the newspaper?
Yeah, the New York Times Magazine.
Magazine. Okay.
Yeah.
Is this the ultimate, like, go back through their Twitter and find something they did fucked up?
Yeah.
Hunt?
It's a Sunday magazine supplemented, included with the Sunday edition of the New York Times.
No, I understand. I'm saying the move, like this move. Like, you know how cancel culture has done this thing where we're going to, like, once someone becomes prominent, we're going to go through their Twitter or their social media and find shit from 20 years ago.
Oh, like, and like America?
This is like, this is like the Kevin Hart thing. I mean, I don't know how many celebrities have been like, oh yeah, you found a tweet that the Shane Gillis for Saturday Night Live.
Right.
You found some shit I said on a podcast. I feel like this is like that move on an extrapolated scale. Like, we're going to go back before we even ever declared ourselves as a country. We're going to declare it a country then and then just kind of rewrite history through those motives. Is that?
It can be argued that's a perspective. Sure. I think what is trying to be done, I think, is providing some balance to the perspective of what happened in history. Uh-huh. As the saying always goes, the history is written by the victor.
Yes, correct.
So in this case, you know, America, we're written history. Those who succeeded in the fucking words today, Worcestershire. those who succeeded with the bounty and the fruits of their labor, right?
Yes.
So whoever came out on top in the development years of the country clearly gets right how this history went down.
Exactly.
But this is providing a perspective in saying, okay, that's true. However, you're also forgetting this very integral portion of American history, and that's the fact that the country was built on the backs of slave labor.
But are we? Are we?
To an
extent. Is there anybody who's forgot that?
To an extent, you have to admit that there was an extreme amount of slave labor that contributed to the development of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying, who's denying that?
Well, I think when you look at history books and you start to see the wishy-washiness of history and to start to see things get a little bit less and less accurate. A very good example is, you know, the continuous, you know, screen grabs of textbooks we're seeing of children's textbooks that are saying, you know, the Civil War was fought over states' rights without explicitly saying slavery was a huge factor in that, if not the factor.
But slavery only became a factor after the war started. It was only a factor to take away the free fucking labor that the South had as an advantage over. It was started over states' rights.
Ah, okay. So then here we have a discussion to take place.
Yeah, and please don't think I'm not the South will rise again. Don't give a shit. I'm pro anti-slavery. But my understanding is that Abraham Lincoln never really, that wasn't his MO.
Well, yeah, he was not like, oh, well, my intention is to set the slaves free.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was.
In fact, someone actually told me that he, after a night of bad drinking, he said, "I freed who?" I don't know that to be true. I don't think they were there. I sure wasn't.
I heard. But
I think he tweeted that.
What is occurring with the 1619 project is additional conversation. I'm not saying
yes.
I fully support the project. I'm saying
no, correct.
It's yeah. definitely worth including in the discussion when we're talking about, you know, America being the greatest country of all time. Not particularly. you know, there's definitely been some advancements and huge leaps and bounds by the country, but we have to be honest about it. People are talking about, yeah, we went to the moon. Yeah. With Nazi scientists at the helm.
Yes, like, absolutely. No. Yeah. We need to definitely talk about how the railroad got built, why we're able to move, you know, supplies left to right, how the highways got built. You know, people forget how big the Chinese were to the development of this country. An absolute fucking slavery. This country was built on the backbone of slavery. And that's why I totally would entertain the conversation of reparations, because I think there are direct relatives, descendants of people who made billions of dollars off slave labor. And I don't think with like 23andMe, it's that hard to figure out who owes who some money right now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's unquestionable technology. I don't think it's one of those things where you have to cut like every black person a check. Although, if you think about Jim Crow laws, you kind of fucking do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's definitely something to be paid, whether it be monetary or something, you know, dude, something of value must be paid.
I have friends to this day who will take their 40 acres in the mill.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
that's a fucking jumpstart. That's way better than I got in a suburb of Chicago. It's way better than I got, you know, being raised by Crips in Little Rock. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But so here's kind of what happens though when you go like that heavy into virtue signaling is now they're stuck with this.
Who is?
So the New York Times magazine.
Okay.
So now you can't back off of this. You have to write every story with that inspiration,
the premise,
and no matter how ridiculous it gets, or the New York Times, who gets the New York Times gets the New York Times. I don't think this is when people do these like outrageous virtue signalings, and it can only hurt them. You're not going to get new fans from this. I get that the New York Times is struggling. Nobody buys newspaper anymore. It's a hard industry to work in right now. But you're not going to gain anybody by this. Mm. What you'll probably do is lose some middle land people. Some, you know, what are those Democrats called? The fucking working I don't know what they call them, but like the border people, you know,
the moderates.
And you're committed to this now. You can't backpedal and say, you know what, that was a bad idea, because then you lose your real base. Mm. What you could have done was just kept trying to provide the education and not really had to say like, you're gonna premise a new cornerstone,
right?
You know what I mean? That and on it, that's kind of, I still think that shit's not really fair.
I think it's worth, again, like worth exploring, but it can certainly be dangerous as a virtue signal if you're not gonna have any follow through. And I think what's interesting with the follow through is that they have developed a project curriculum in collaboration with the Pulitzer Center about the 1619 Project for schools.
Oh, that might be neat.
So here's where it gets really entertaining, is that now that you have mention of teaching the 1619 Project in schools, you have the opposing side of this. So the pro-1776, this is when the country began, people are saying absolutely not, cannot take back the fact that we're 1776. Anything that suggests otherwise is un-American. And it's an absolute no, period. And that's being pushed forward with President Trump putting together a panel, if you will. I forget the exact term. Putting together a group of people that are looking to make sure that all curriculum taught in schools regarding American history is pro-American.
Well,
that's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, I think it should just be the truth. Like, I don't think we need to put a spin on it. We definitely don't want to be creating, what were they called? Jihadi Joes or whatever. Like, we don't need to be saying America's malicious, but we need to say, you know, like, there was a point in American history where people were considered property. It was fucking disgusting. It took way longer than it should have for us to get out of it, but we're out of it. But we're not going to sit there and deny that, you know, these things didn't give us a huge leap. And then right. I would even, you know, the contrary to that is all technological leaps, significant leaps, have been since the civil rights movement. If you look at where we went from 1950 to 2020 compared to 1492 to 1950, I would say giving people equal opportunity has definitely caused a lot more for development than holding people back.
I agree. That's a great point.
Here's my other problem. Is there any more time to add 200 years to world to U.S. history? Because I don't. My teacher was losing his shit teaching me just the fucking 200 years to now.
You know, that's true. I think my history class. The funny thing is, I fucking love history, so I ate it up. I had no problem just sitting there enthralled with all the history. But the rest of the class did not. They just did not take a liking to it.
Yeah, I didn't understand how you could not like a class where the answers are there. Like, there's no thinking. When did Christopher Columbus sail the blue? 1492. Like, it's not, you got to take the X and make it fuck a Y, and then it might have a positive, negative child. You don't really know. Like, it was not, I didn't understand how people had a hard time with history. It was like, you just read it. But also, like, oh, how about this? Are you good at, what's it called when you read and you know it just by reading it once? Comprehension?
Oh, yeah, comprehension. I do all right.
I think that might have been our benefit at that.
As long as I don't have to sound out any words like Worcestershire, then.
Or comprehension, yeah. Like or me comprehension. Just now.
Yeah.
No one told you to listen to us, guys.
Yeah. Just
social newsletters.
That's how
no one. Goes. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've told you before. Don't encourage me.
Who gave this man a microphone?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. That's all.
As of right now, Dr. Dre did, though.
What?
Dr. Dre gave me a microphone.
Oh.
I got the biats.
Well, if he gave you a microphone, clearly he knows what he's doing.
Well,
that's all I really got for this week as far as topics and conversation pieces. So you want to go into some you-know-what to close this out?
Yeah, I can go into you-know-what.
All right. I got two of them. So hit me with you first.
All right. You know what?
What?
Old white men need to stop acting like it's so fucking unbelievable that there are plenty of groups of cronies and good old boys at pretty imperative circles in our country.
Such as?
Well, like, I mean, this came to mind because of ownership. Like, there's all these owners of different companies or corporations that act like everybody has the same shot as them. Meanwhile, they'll buy out the little business before it gets big. They'll tank a product. They'll market against something. Like, I'm tired of people acting like it's offensive to say, hey, there's groups of good old boys that definitely keep their fucking circle good old boys, and they're not letting people in.
Oh, yeah. No, that's funny. I think I saw an article not too long ago about a law being passed in Michigan not allowing the sale of electronic vehicles in the state. I have to look into it, but I think that kind of falls into place with what you're saying.
That they because of GM is based there.
Some shit like that.
Because of Detroit. Detroit's where, you know, American cars come from, and they don't want any new people like Elon in that circle.
Right.
I get that. Yep. Just stop acting like it's offensive that idea even exists, because it's a pretty real thing, dude.
Yep. That's a pretty real thing indeed. Hey, you know what?
Go for it, brother. What's that, man?
Every person dressing up for Halloween this year is going to have to include one pretext.
What's that?
Unhappy, disappointed. If you're going to dress up as anything this year, you're going to dress up as unhappy or sadness. Everyone's going to be sadness from the Pixar movie.
Oh, yeah, I hated that movie.
Yeah, but everyone's going to just be that one person feeling. We're all just sadness for fucking Halloween because we can't fucking do anything.
Is it going to be like, you have to really pull it off to be like a funny COVID, right? Like some kid knocks on your door as COVID. Like it better be fucking, you better have nailed it, right?
Yeah, if you're, you know what? If you're going to have a coronavirus themed costume this year,
is coronavirus this year's blackface? This motherfucker just show up as coronavirus?
Why are you showing up anyway? You're supposed to be at home.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man.
Yeah, it better be good if you're going to be dressing up as coronavirus for Halloween this year. Just want to throw that out there.
All right. You know what, bro?
What?
I do not do things in life for the moral of the story.
Why not?
I do them for the story.
Ah.
All right?
Good one.
That is the premise, the inspiration, the cornerstone of which I work off of. I'm not really going to do this to teach anyone shit. I'm not your role model. I'm not your example. I'm just going to do this to kind of see, one, where it goes, and then two, quite frankly, to come back to shows that, hey, dude, let me tell you what the fuck I did.
Let me tell you about my adventures this week.
Yeah, that's always out of pocket.
That's a really good one. That kind of reminds me of a quote I stumbled upon creating myself some time ago. I forget, but it was once I said it, I was like, oh, God, that was perfect.
Right.
Life is too serious to be taken seriously.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Dude, you and I, we're Nietzsche.
Yeah. We're what?
Nietzsche.
Nietzsche?
Yeah.
Is that like Worcestershire word pronunciation?
It's, actually, it is now that you connected them. Nietzsche was a philosopher, song? I believe.
Oh.
But he wrote a book. Now I gotta, I don't even know how to spell it. Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche. Yeah. So anyways, he was a German philosopher. Told you Germans have great ideas. But he wrote these books of like little one-liners of things like that.
Oh, nice.
Just like your one line and then my one line. And they became really famous quotes and kind of things to like live off of.
Oh, nice. That was kind of my life goal. When I was in high school and stuff, we would always get like, you know, they give us quotes that are posted on the wall in the classroom. You're like, oh, that's really
the one with the kitten. Hang in there.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And I was always like, man, I would love to have a quote and then have my name under it. And like, oh, that was profound. So it became my life goal just to think of like fortune cookie shit. And I became pretty good at it.
Yep. But yep. Then the internet, right?
Yeah. Fucking internet ruined everything.
Just gave all of a sudden everybody's Nietzsche.
Which reminds me, you know what?
What's that, my man?
Some of these damn kids have never been challenged in watching scrambled porn and it shows.
Yes. Amen, sister. Keep going.
It just, you can tell someone who can appreciate a clear picture.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to go through like, oh, I think that's a boob or an elbow. I'm not sure.
Or 37 minute downloads for a 1 minute clip, or going through what they call stills. You used to have to beat off to stills. You just see one picture at a time, one picture at a time. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I think that scrambled porn is part of the reason foot fetishes exist, because they didn't know what they were looking at. You know, it's like, is that an ankle? Ooh, I didn't know ankles are hot, but it's not. It was an earlobe. Like, earlobes are hot.
That's my kind of ankle right there.
Yeah, dude.
That's funny. But yeah, you appreciate the little things as you grow older. Scrambled.
Yeah, man. And now scrambled porn doesn't exist. So you just got to like shake your kid's head while they watch porn.
I think I'd be interested to see if you go into like the Pornhub and just did a search of scrambled porn. Someone brought it back just for funsies.
You know what? I'm on the family computer, so I'm not going to do it right now. But I will definitely bring that back to the show next week. I'll do my homework, my due diligence.
Well, because
I'm going to be social nuisance crack team.
What I love doing sometimes is, because I'm such a Disney kid, I'll watch YouTube infomercials of like Disney vacations from like 1989 or 91 or some shit like that, just to take me back, to make me feel like I was a kid again. I want the same feeling of watching scrambled porn.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it'd be as
thrilling,
heartwarming. Yeah, as what's that? I don't know. Do you remember the People Mover?
I was gonna say, I can wait in the other room and then announce my footsteps coming down the hall to make you scramble and like, oh shit, I gotta change the channel real quick, just to add that thrill.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm me, and I'll just let you walk into me beating off.
Make eye contact and finish.
But this is happening, bro.
Yes, I do remember the People Mover.
Mm. Do you remember? Okay, so the People Mover was us as kids. Remember, they kind of look like golf carts.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they brought it back like 15 years after that? It was above, I want to say it was above Buzz Lightyear's thing.
Yeah, Tomorrowland.
Yeah, but do you remember the second People Mover thing?
Yeah, the Rocket Ride.
That they tried. Yeah.
It was the fast one? What?
Did that only last like a year?
Yeah. People would always ask me, because I'm the Disney guy, I know exactly what happened. So the ride system was not designed for the banking that was needed to occur. So the People Mover was flat, right? Because you're just going slow. But when you're moving at a very high speed, as you did in Rocket Rods, you needed to have a banked turn.
But a curve?
The People Mover track was flat. They would constantly have to speed up, then brake. And the braking systems would always fuck up because they needed banked turns. So they said, ah, fuck it, never mind. It was a dope.
They just scrapped it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the Tron section of it. That was the shit.
Yeah. It was cool.
Did you ever go on the soapbox rides at Knott's Berry Farm?
I did. Yes.
Yes, dude.
Take me back.
Right? Yes. The fucking soapbox rides. Remember, you didn't even buckle up, dude. It was like, jump out if you want, kid.
Yeah, that was good times.
Yeah, I loved those rides, dude.
Thanks for taking me back, man. That was a wonderful trip. Thank you for taking me on that journey.
Absolutely, man. I just wish we could take a bag of mushrooms and go to old theme parks, dude.
Oh, that'd be fucking dope.
Good times.